With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
Welcome to the Forecast One podcast, new season, new expectations, and we're back after a short break, but I'm happy to be back, and I'm being joined by Sam, and Sam and I are going to do this first pre-season episode together, and hopefully throughout the rest of the season we're going to have a lot of nice, interesting, and some new guests. But Sam, first I want to know, how are you doing, how was your break, and are you ready to get going again?
First of all, I am more than ready to get going. I'm really excited for this season. I've been excited since last year, so I can't wait. I'm doing very well. The break has been nice. It's always nice to kind of have a little bit of time for rest and relaxation, but you know, that only lasts so long and then you're just in withdrawal at this point. And so I feel like I've entered that many, many weeks ago. And, you know, we've a bit to talk about, obviously, for the preseason. And we've seen the liveries. We have a lot of new things, like you said, that are entering the 2026 season. So let's get into it.
Yes, you're right. I feel exactly the same way. And I'm very excited for a new season, especially because of new rules, new regulations. It's going to be a lot of new things. And I'm looking forward to that and see how the season shapes up. And yeah, like we did in the previous years, we're just going to run through a couple of things. You mentioned the liveries there. We're going to have a look at those. We're going to talk a little bit about the testing, although we all know it's just testing. So it's hard to really read into it. But yeah, other than that, I think it's also good to talk a little bit about the new parts of the Forecast app, because we have made a couple of updates. It's not been released yet as of speaking, but probably while you're listening to the episode, you will be able to find a update in either the Play Store or the App Store, depending on whether you're an iPhone user or an Android user. But we do have a couple of upgrades, and I think the most significant one is MotoGP, but we'll get to talk about that a little bit later. You might have already seen that in the app previously. It was already installed, but of course 2026 now. It's going to be the first season that we're going to start predicting MotoGP. But other than that, there's a couple of other interesting updates for the app. First of all, the app is going to be available in a couple more languages compared to previously only having the option of English. There's now another... Actually, we like to guess things. So I was going to ask you if you can guess which languages. You don't have to guess all 15 added languages, but I want to see how far you get.
Oh, putting me on the spot, Anton. You do that so well. Okay.
Love doing that.
I'm going to say Spanish.
Well, you got that one right.
All right. So let's do Spanish. I'm going to say Dutch. German?
No, Dutch is not on there. German
really?
Is.
Okay. What about Mandarin?
Mandarin is indeed one of the languages.
Very nice. French?
French is too.
Okay. Shall I keep going, or are you going?
Yeah,
you
just I mean until
oh, wow,
you run
okay.
out, and then I'll fill in the rest. But you're doing quite well so far.
And we are at how many right now? 4 or 5 out of 15.
You've guessed 4 additional languages. Yeah.
Oh,
there's
goodness.
11 more to go.
Let's do Portuguese.
Yeah, actually, I should have done Portuguese, but I kind of missed out on Portuguese. That's a big misser. But, you know, there's going to be room for adding more languages in the future. So that's going to be definitely one of the ones to still add on. But Portuguese is not on there just yet.
Oh my goodness, there's so many languages, and I feel like if I miss some very obvious ones, it's going to be terrible.
No, you're doing all right. You got the main ones, I think, with Spanish, French, and, well, there's not a lot of Mandarin users yet, but that's one of the reasons why I'm adding languages such as Mandarin, because, you know, it might be a good way, a good segue for new people who are not really used to looking at apps in English. Anyway, that's giving you some time to think. I want to hear the next one.
I more or less want to hear you tell me the 11th, but I'll go with Arabic.
Yeah, very good.
Okay. You know what? Why don't you tell the rest? I've narrowed down 5, so I think the All remaining right. 10 I'll leave in your hands.
Yeah, sure. All right. So there's Italian. There's Greek, there's Turkish, there's Russian, there's Japanese, Korean, Hindi, Indonesian, Vietnamese, and Thai. So those are, together with the ones you already guessed, plus English, we now have the app available in 16 total languages. So I think that's very exciting, because I've, over the past years, I've heard a lot of comments of people who were asking why the app is not available in their language. So hopefully that gives a little bit of opportunity for some new players from around the world. And besides that, we're going to have more stats. So there's going to be a couple of interesting ones. In the standings in the future, you'll be able to see during the season how many points you scored per driver. So, you know, if you predict the winner of the first race, let's say it's Charles Leclerc, maybe some wishful thinking, you score 25 points for Charles, then when you go to standings and you're going to click on the drop down next to your name, you're going to find the amount of points that you've scored for Leclerc. So if you scored 25 from the first race, let's say you score another 6 in the race after that, and you've got at a total of 31 points for Leclerc. So during the season, you'll be able to track with which driver you've scored the most points. It's been something that I had been putting in some of the overviews for some people when they were asking specifically, like, a full overview for their season. But I think it's something very cool to have in the app to be able to track your progress. And also, you know, when you're in a group and you're competing to friends or family, you'll be able to, you know, filter for that group. And then you can see per participant how many points they've been getting with each driver. So it's kind of cool to see. Besides that, a couple of small things. At results, you'll be able to see when there's a sprint race, you won't only get the total amount of points scored, which you were always able to see, but it will be broken down in sprint and race. So you'll be able to see your total points in a sprint weekend. So we know that the second weekend of this year is going to be a sprint weekend in China. You're going to be able to see your total score, but also just very quickly see how many points were scored during the sprint and how many were scored during the race. And it will have 2 decimal points, so you can actually, we were previously always rounding up on 1 decimal. So if it would be 0.75, you'd see 0.8, and people started adding up and seeing that it didn't end up because it was rounded off. So now it will be a little bit more accurate, which I think is very nice. And when you're at the home screen and you go to different seasons, you'll be able to look back at previous seasons. You were already able to do that, but now you'll see a little bit more from the stats of that season. So actually you will see how you performed within your country. So let's say you, Samantha, you're Canadian. When you go back to season 2025, you'll be able to search for your name. There was no search bar previously. You'll search for your name and you'll click on the drop down and you will see that you were, well, I don't really recall what you were, but probably 3rd in Canada, something like that. Actually, I need to look that up. I don't know what you...
I feel like I need to look it up as well. I'm pretty sure it was 3rd.
Well, I was just guessing that. But anyway, yeah.
In
the meantime, we will look that up. Besides that, I think one of the things that I wanted to do for this year, and I'm very excited by that too, is to make the overviews a little bit easier to screenshot and to grasp what we're looking at. So previously, what you would see when you were showing, you know, in the different groups that we have, or, you know, you might have a group with your friends and sharing a screenshot of what your prediction was. When people are making their prediction, for example, you know, you're just going into a Grand Prix weekend and you're making predictions for Australia, let's say, and you'd have to make two screenshots of your picks to show all of your 10 drivers, but now it's been scaled down, so it just takes one screenshot to show your friends what you have predicted rather than making two separate screenshots. And not just for the predictions, but also for results. When there's a sprint race, even with results, you'll be able to click on the drop down and see the whole breakdown in one screenshot, so you don't need to make two any longer. Same with the standing. So for the season overall results, you will see all the 24 races in one page, so you don't need to make two separate screenshots to show somebody how many different how many points you scored with each race. So that's very exciting. Besides that, I changed the background color. So, you know, previously, regardless of whether you were looking at standings or results or high scores, you would always have this light yellow background. That changes so that with time, we will get more used to the separate screens. So results, the result after a Grand Prix that you're looking at, you're going to see at a dark yellowish background, the typical forecast color, right? So that's going to be the results page. But for the standings, for the overall classification, you will see a dark blue background. So, you know, once you'll look at that more often, you will get used a little bit to the different colors. And high scores are still going to be shown with a background of light yellow, the one we've always had. So, you know, that way, also somebody sharing a screenshot with you, you'll be able to identify quickly which one it is, because you're going to get used to that. So I'm very excited by these changes, and there might be a couple of small little other things that have been added here and there, and you will find out about that while using the app. So I will just suggest to everybody now check, because some phones might automatically update depending on your phone settings, but it is worth your while to check out whether there's an update available in the Play Store or the App Store. And if not yet, and you're listening to this episode just after it's come out, maybe you need to wait another day and a half, but it will be there in very short notice.
It's very awesome. I mean, there's a lot of things that obviously are being introduced this year, and a full first season of MotoGP, I think, is really exciting. I'm really, really excited about that. But one thing personally between you and I, Anton, is the fact that I can screenshot the results in just one image. So for you and I competitively, as we enter this season and battle each other, it'll be nice if there's a really good weekend that I capitalize upon, because I'm sure there will be. I will love nothing more but to send you my screenshot.
I'm sure you will. Actually, that was one of the sections of the playbook of this episode of podcast. I was going to ask you what your expectations are for this year regarding our little inter-team battle.
Of course.
In 2024, you finished third. I finished 22nd. Last year, you finished 58, and I finished 134. I didn't even manage to get into the top 100. So I was going to ask you, and I think we did that in the previous pre-episode, sorry, the previous pre-season episode as well. What is your goal for this season in forecast? And I'm talking now purely alone on the F1 side of things. What do you, of course, you know, I understand you're going to try and win, but we need to be realistic about it. Looking at 24 and 25, and both of us dropping quite a bit in positions, what are you aiming for? And are you going to beat me again?
Well, I mean, historically, if we're looking at beating again, I normally do. So, no, but if I'm being serious here, I really think that it's anybody's game. I think that this year, more than any year for forecast, this is actually probably going to be the most volatile in terms of your picks. And it has a lot to do with all of the new introductions for the season. So I really think that you're not going to have a gauge as to where any team is really going to end up until we get deeper into the season. I think there is going to be a lot of chaos, and that is my assumption. We'll see if that actually pans out. So if I'm keeping a realistic mindset and with that also added in. I'm going to say my goal would be definitely to finish in the top 25. I think that that's a realistic goal. Of course, my major goal is to win. I am very competitive in nature, so I will definitely try to go for the win. But with all the players that we have, there is a lot of competition, and I think it's going to be a really exciting season overall. But what about you? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think because I'm looking back a little bit further into the history of forecasts, and I think the 22 season is not fair because you started later on than I did, obviously. But on 23, I'm just checking. Fair. And I see I finished 52nd. I'm trying to find you. I'm still scrolling.
Listen, sometimes...
No, seriously.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
I'd have missed you, but I'm trying to find. But I think
sometimes my short-term memory comes into play.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll get back on this a little bit later. We were going to also look at actually what you finished this last year in Canadian full standings. But anyway, yeah, these things are going to be interesting to look at. But all right,
definitely.
Yeah, my aim is to... I think the aim I'm going to set for this year, as I usually do, is to beat you, but to beat you in both competitions. So F1 and MotoGP, I am expecting you to make your picks. I'm not going to, actually, I'm going to, you know, overall, and this is for everyone listening, I'm going to, of course, send out reminders and everything for F1. For MotoGP, I'm going to leave it a little bit more open. It's going to be a little bit more voluntary. Anybody who wants to play can play, but I'm just going to try and see where it ends up, but it's going to be exciting. And as some of you might have some questions on how this is going to work, but it's going to be a completely separate championship. I think that's important to realize. So we're not adding points from both competitions. It's going to be two standalone competitions, which also means actually that you know, we all know that forecast works in a way that your previous position is going to be your racing number for next year. That means Sam's going to be competing under number 58. I'm going to be competing number 134. Filippo Morelli is going to be competing at number one. But in MotoGP, of course, we don't have any historic data. So that means everybody's going to compete with the same racing number as in F1. And then from 2027 onward, that is going to be separate as well. So depending on where you finish in MotoGP, you're going to finish... you're going to start 2027 with that racing number. So it's important to know that it's completely standalone. You can play the F1 predictions without having to participate in MotoGP, and vice versa. You can compete in MotoGP and not in F1. That's completely up to you. Of course, we would love you to play in both. It is going to be fun, even if you're not into MotoGP or not yet. I mean, I think it's a good reason to start watching it. I'm very excited about it for several different reasons. I think it is very exciting. And talking a little bit about, because I think it's probably fair to also explain a little bit how forecast is going to work in that regard, of course, with deadlines and how the point structure is going to work. We're going to use and apply the exact same system of scoring points. That means if you get somebody in the right spot in your prediction, that means you're going to score 100% of the points. If you're going to have somebody one place off the place where he finishes, you're scoring 50%, two places of 25%, three places of 12.5%. So Formula One works in exactly the same way. The difference is that in MotoGP, well, there's going to be 22 races on the calendar for 2026, and every race has a sprint race. So you're going to predict a sprint and a race for every calendar session for MotoGP, and rather than 8 finishing positions, you need to predict 9 in MotoGP for the sprint. So of course we know that in F1 the sprints are from 1 until P8, and vice versa in points, so 8, 7, 3, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. In MotoGP, it's slightly different. The winner of the sprint scores 12 points. So getting the sprint winner right gets you 12 points. And having him on P2 gets you 50% of the points, 6 points. Same way as it works in F1. P2, 9 points. P3, 7 points. And then down to 6 to 1 up until P9. And then for the race, in MotoGP, the first 14 riders score points. First 15 riders score points. So that means P1, 25 points, same as in F1, but P2 is 20 points, P3 is 16 points, P4 is 13 points, and then 11, 10, and then it goes down to 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 point for P15. So slightly different, but the same concept, I would say. The deadline will be the start of FP2, because we have FP1 on Friday, and that is... You know, with FP1, like you do in Formula 1 with FP1, FP2, and on a regular race weekend, you get to see a little bit of practice sessions, see how things are shaping up. But FP2 and MotoGP already determined something for the rest of the weekend, because depending on the FP2 times in MotoGP determine in which qualifying group the riders are going to start. So Q1 is a group with riders with the slowest times in FP2, so the 12 slowest riders start in Q1, and the first two riders go from Q1 to Q2, and the other 10 remaining start according to their finishing position in Q1, and then you get a Q2 session where you have 12 riders battling for pole position, and you know, the order in which they finish is also the order in which they start, both in the sprint and in the race. So you get one qualifying session, a Q1 and a Q2 on the Saturday, which determines starting positions both for the sprint and for the race. The sprint is on Saturday, the race is on the Sunday. So in that regard, it's the same as in a sprint weekend with F1. Some slight differences that you need to get used to. But all in all, it's going to be exciting. And it's going to be, in some terms, it's going to be slightly different to F1. You know, in MotoGP, there's throughout the season, there's many different wild cards. So those are one-off entries, people entering in a particular weekend. It's usually used by factory teams for testing. And so you will have some, one-off drivers that you can put in your predictions. And since the first 15 score points in the race, you know, it does happen that there are some, there's in a whole season, there's going to be more point scores than there are in F1. Also, you will see more injuries and replacements. We already know that actually was announced today that Fermín Aldeguer will not be participating in the testing and the first race weekend in Thailand. So he will probably be replaced by Michel Pirro, the Ducati test driver who replaced Marc Marquez last season as well. But that's not been officially announced. When it will be officially announced, that will be something that you will see back immediately in the forecast app. And then if you'd already predicted Aldeguer, will be automatically replaced by Pirro, and if you haven't predicted yet, you will see that Pirro shows up in your prediction. So that will be a little bit more changing throughout the season than what you're used to in F1, but not less exciting, I would say even more so. And you know, for me personally, I've not been following MotoGP as long as I have been following F1. So at this point, but that might change, I feel like I also might take a few more risks in my predictions than I would genuinely do in F1, where I'm trying to be conservative, I feel, which is not really getting me anywhere. But, you got to start positive at the beginning of the season, I would say.
Absolutely. We have to start positive.
All right, so I think it's time that we look a little bit at the liveries of the new season and the testing so far. We've had 2 days of testing now at Bahrain, but let's have a look at the liveries first, Sam. And what do you think? How are we going to do this? We're going to go through past all 11 teams, and you give a rating of what you think of the livery, or what? How are we going to do this? Do you have any ideas?
I say let's just give our top three. Why don't we do that, and then we can maybe have some honorable mentions.
I like that.
Yeah. So let's go with you first, Anton. I'm curious. Who are your top three? I feel like I have a few assumptions, but I'm definitely curious to know.
You know, for me, it's difficult because I find that everybody rates the liveries based on how it has changed compared to previous years. So, you know, I think one of the obvious things is that Red Bull slightly changed their livery compared to previous years. So I would say that I was happy to see that, but you know, the livery per se, I don't know why I'm starting with Red Bull. I'm starting with Red Bull because I'm looking at that F1 post where, you know, where they have the 11 slides of all the different teams. Let me give a top three. Do they need to be in any particular order or not?
No, I say if you want to give order, but if you don't, you just want to say your top three. I mean, we do have 11 cars, so.
Okay, well, two of them are obvious for me. I think Ferrari is I was very happy to see, I don't know, I it has something. I like the vibrancy of
you
that.
You like the more traditional
red
approach?
Even though I felt that the darker red was also quite nice, but I like that white part on top of the livery, and I think it helps slightly the big blue HP logo that it's now surrounded by white rather than by red. So Ferrari definitely enters my top three. Cadillac enters my top three as well, simply because I love the fact that they've made a livery that's you know, on opposite sides is different. I didn't even think about that, because I think the last time we've seen that is 1999. So those two definitely make it into my top three. And then, yeah, there we go. I would say Audi, simply because I'm seeing something different. There I go. I mean, it's not the livery per se, it's just for seeing something different. So if I'm looking really at colors, and I would have not watched F1 in previous years and I wouldn't know anything about F1, I would probably put Aston Martin there, but it's just,
I was waiting for it.
It's just quite, yeah, because I like the dark green. I really do. But
yeah.
See, it's difficult to make a top three, but I want to see you struggle a little bit as well. So go ahead, Sam.
Okay. I think that those are really good picks. And I'm going to do a little bit different. But I also would agree with you. I think that this year in general, in my opinion, has actually one of the best liveries on like the entire grid. I think the entire grid has some really great liveries.
But they made that new rule, right? That it needs to be at least like 60-70% covered with actual paint. Like it needs to be minimum that. So teams also don't need to, you know, they're not worried about adding additional weight compared to other teams, because everybody has the same. So I like that, because and sorry to interrupt you, but that I've always repeated over and over again that for me the most important thing is that we get a color palette of different colors on the grid. Also, that makes it better.
I agree.
For F1 to look at. I was hoping the only thing that, you know, Cadillac being gray, white, Haas being white, black, and Audi also having the gray. I mean, those are somewhat difficult to get around in the forecast app in terms of color images for the drivers. Actually, now that I'm talking about, I'm completely taking over again with the monologue, but I will get back to one of the other changes, is that actually the results with the driver names are now more into a font which has the F1 style, which I personally think is a very nice touch in the app. But you'll see that once we get into the season. So back to Sam talking about the liveries.
Yeah, no, I would say I like the F1 font. So I'm glad that that's something that's going to be.
It's not the official font. It's a font that just really looks like it.
Because
you're not
that.
Allowed to use the the actual font.
That's right.
Also trademarked, but it looks very much like it. I think it's even slightly better. But anyway, okay. You know,
ooh,
back to the liveries.
Okay. All right, back to the liveries. I'm going to go with a few mentions that I like, because I would agree with you when you mentioned the fact of Cadillac and the creativity behind having two separate panels that are different colors and the contrast there. I really do like that. I do think, though, that it's interesting that you mentioned the fact that you're looking at, let's say, Audi and Cadillac, and when they actually translate on the grid, they're going to be similar in some regards when it comes to color scheme. That's always such an important thing. But I also, like I mentioned earlier, I really like the liveries in general this year. And so I would say, number one, I'm a fan of the blue with Red Bull. I'm glad they went back to it. It's just a little bit more traditional and a little more old school for them. But I really like it. I think it's more punchy. I'm excited to see that on the grid. I've always admired the Red Bull or liked the Red Bull livery in general. So I'm excited to see that. I actually really like Haas's livery. I think the black and the white with the red, I think it's punchy and it'll look really nice and sharp. I would also say, though, for me, and this is just... It's a livery that the color itself, and I say this every single year we do this. For me personally, I love Aston Martin's color. I don't see a singular car on the grid that can compare to that color, and it really translates into it really translates into a special livery when you see it firsthand and live. So we've been fortunate, both you and I, to be able to see it on the grid firsthand. And it's just like, there's no livery with that color. I like that so much. So I have always been a fan of that. And that would be up there. But let me also say that with those, I've kind of gone beyond the three. But I do like the Ferrari one as well. I always love the Ferrari liveries. I really loved when they went through that period with the deep dark red, but there's something about the contrast of the white and this particular red that really brings it back a bit more traditional. And I am going to really be interested to see how that translates on the grid. But those are the ones that I would say are up there for me.
But it's also, if you look actually at the, because now I'm looking at the pictures in more detail than I have done so far, mm-hmm. So much for preparation for this episode. But if you look at, what I did notice prior is the two different blues on the Williams, which I like the Barclays and in the light blue, yeah. And then the dark blue on top. I think that's a nice touch. But also now looking at the Mercedes actually from the side is also actually the gray and black, like the lines, that works very well.
It's sharp.
It's very nice. But the Haas too, you mentioned that. I also think it looks slick. It's an interesting year in terms of liveries. I think the colors are bright and nice. And even the McLaren now looking at it looks slightly different in the way that they have combined the black and orange, even though papaya, pardon. My little error there on coloring, but it's going to be nice, and I think it's going to be easy to tell them apart on track. So that is the most important part, and other than that, they're just colors. I think what's going to be interesting is to see how this. I'm very much looking forward to, especially now with new rules and regulations, and I think the very telling part is going to be the difference in engines. We've had an engine freeze for a very long time, and I think engine performance, not only performance, reliability as well, that's going to be the deal breaker for this season, I think. And what is interesting is taking the few days in Barcelona where nobody was really allowed to see what was going on, and now also the testing days these days, it seems that very few you get a summary, but it's not being televised as it could have been. I don't really understand, because there are, it could have been. I don't really see why they're just doing summaries, but interestingly.
Yeah, I agree. I don't understand that, actually, why it was, why we're unable to see as much as we typically would.
Yeah, I felt initially that it was perhaps because they wanted to avoid that, with new engines, a lot of cars are going to be breaking down. They don't want to show that. But then they showed it in the summaries anyway. So I don't really
right.
get the point, but I might be missing the point completely, as I often do. But that's something I don't completely understand. But what I do see is that the Ferrari engine seems to be quite reliable. It apparently they've had no real issues starting from the shakedown up until now, second day of testing. So that's very exciting. We had on the second day of testing now Leclerc setting the fastest time, although I do think that reading into those times is not, it's really, you know, it's at looking at an empty cup of coffee. I mean, it doesn't really tell you too much. But on the other hand, of course, teams that, well, I mean, the team that seems to be particularly slow seems to be Aston Martin. They're not looking that good. It seems that the engine has a little bit of doesn't seem to be as well prepared for all the new tricks and things that are. I mean, we're gonna see very soon what all these things are. I think Lewis has voiced his concern over it being extremely difficult, and that the average F1 enthusiast is not going to be able to understand all of it. Let's see to what extent Lewis has a good grasp on the audience of F1. But the Aston Martin engine seems to also have some. Sorry,
Max actually just today was vocalizing the fact that he doesn't feel like it's he's not really satisfied with the way that the cars are set up for this year. So
yeah,
I think
Verstappen was especially
well.
talking from his own point of view and talking about himself not enjoying it too much. And I think Hamilton was talking a little bit more about the audience, which very typical, isn't it? But yeah, that is going to be interesting. But yeah, the Aston Martin engine doesn't look particularly good there. They seem to be seconds behind on a single lap, so that's not really a good sign for our friends Fernando and Lance. So I think we'll have to wait and see. Of course, it's difficult to really read into it. And what I think is very exciting, what I've looking at the past few years of forecasts, what I find exciting is that, you know, throughout the season, things will shape, and you know, people are going to know what they're more or less going to predict. Maybe they're going to put an outlier in Monaco, and they're going to do this and that. But the first race of the season is the most difficult one to predict, and that's usually where like the points are extremely far apart, because you know we simply don't know. I think prior to these testing days, a lot of people were talking about Mercedes, and right now it doesn't really seem like Mercedes. But I mean, then again, there might be sandbagging. You know, nobody really knows. Even the teams probably don't really know that much yet. So that's just very, very exciting, and that, yeah, that makes me look forward to the season a lot. But it does make it a little bit difficult now to talk about what our expectations are and what we're really thinking. But what I did want to, you know, getting into expectations and all that, we talked about expectations for forecasts, but I want you to predict the world champion and the constructor champion for this year, Sam. Let's cut to the chase.
God.
These are the things that I really wanted to ask you, and I wanted to, you know, set here for the podcast, so that at the end of the year I'm going to forget about it and not get
so
back
funny.
To it unless I get it right, I guess. But no, I want to hear from you. World champion, constructor champion, bam bam.
Okay, so we start this by saying how unpredictable we feel like the first race
time.
Is going to be.
You're winning time,
and
Sam.
Unpredictable. How unpredictable this entire season's going to be, and yet we're going to have to determine the constructor and the driver before the red lights go out for the first time in Australia. Look, I'm not going to base it off of anything other than, I'm not going to give you one. I'm going
to
give
no,
you
No, no, no. I need to have
two.
One, Sam.
No, no, no.
No,
I'm going
to
give you
a
two.
A world champion and a constructor champion.
I think that your
That's
safest bet is going to be Max.
I think
your safest bet is going to be Max.
All right.
But, I would love to see a Ferrari resurgence, and I would love to see Leclerc take the driver's championship.
Yeah, but the question was not
now,
who you want to win the championship. The question is who you think is going to win the championship. So I've written down Verstappen, and now I want to hear your constructor champion.
it's so difficult. Let's go with Mercedes.
Okay, nice. All right.
I'm just going to say Mercedes. And, like, we're doing this blind. I have absolutely no idea how this is going to shake up, which is also what makes it so exciting. And, I mean,
I think
people
trust you
that
you're doing this blind. I think everyone's doing this one blind, Sam.
We definitely are. But I think that talking about it, like I do have this I do have this feeling that Mercedes is going to come out quite strong. I have a feeling that they will. I don't have a lot of confidence in the longevity of Ferrari, even if they have started with the testing. There's obviously, it looks like they're doing well. I just don't have confidence because I am partially a Ferrari fan, and those that are Ferrari fans will understand that. You know, you can't be fully confident with the team because there are a lot of variables that are still concerning to some degree. But I feel like we're seeing right now early testing, potentially that Ferrari may come out strong at the beginning, potentially that Mercedes may come out strong, and I wouldn't rule out Red Bull. And I put my confidence behind Max usually if we're making a blind prediction, just because it's Max. I mean, what can we really say? I could lead a million examples as to why I feel that way. But Anton, what are your predictions then? Let's hear your early on predictions. Drivers' championship, constructors, who's taking it?
I'll start by saying, and this is not for winning time because I've already written down mine, so trust me on that one. But what I did want to say is that it does seem a little bit like the top four teams that were the top four teams are going to be the top four teams this year as well. I'd like to be surprised, but I don't think I will be. Although Haas does seem to be a little bit ahead of the midfield thus far in testing. They do look very, very well. But I've written down world champion George Russell and constructor champion Mercedes. So I'm with you on that line of Mercedes thinking. That's one thing that's for certain.
Yeah, I like that.
I don't know if I like it. I don't know if I like it, but it I have written it down. So I gotta be, gotta be fair to George.
Let me ask you this. Why Russell?
Because I think that the Mercedes engine is going to be really good. I expect them to be good. Mm-hmm. And I think that, if that engine is going to be good, it's going to be between McLaren and Mercedes. But if they're really on par, the two teams, because, last year, of course, McLaren dominated for a good part of the season. And that was not so much only engine related, but also car. I think if they're more closer to one another, the two teams now, then I was impressed with the performance of Piastri in 25 compared to his 24 performance. But overall, I'm also not overly impressed by Norris and Piastri in their in their consistency in McLaren. Being cutthroat on strategy when it really is competitive. And Mercedes, I just feel that, I'm not the biggest Toto Wolff fan, but I do think that leading a team, he's that's the kind of guy that you need to head a team. And if I look at the two drivers, I don't think Antonelli is going to be able to beat George Russell just yet. I'm not the largest advocate of Russell's driving, but I do think he's very consistent. I think if you look at last season, the first part of the season, first few races, Russell was always there. And I think if he has a car that can compete and is one of the better cars on the grid, then I do think that he is somewhat ripe to become a champion. If he has the right car, and I do think he can beat Norris and Piastri. Now, of course, it might shape out to become completely different. So who knows? Like you said, we're just doing guessing. If you're asking me who you would like to see as a champion, of course, I completely agree. I would love to see Ferrari, take a title, whether it's Leclerc or Hamilton. Of course, if it would be Hamilton, it would be, it would be an incredible story. But between the two, I really don't see how Hamilton's going to beat Leclerc over a full season. But I'd love to be, I'd love to be surprised. But also, with the new regulations and with the new, with the new handling of the car, I think there's a lot of, there's a lot of technical parts that are going to be extremely important. And I just think that the newer generations probably just has a slight edge regarding that. You know, you see now with the, you know, one of the things you see with the testing is that, for example, the way in which they're downshifting is completely different from what we've seen thus far in the history of F1. You see, you know, their clicks on a steering wheel, and usually they would be timed, you know, with an interval. But now you see like a lot of double downshifts. Which are, I think it was Verstappen doing that first. You know, I can imagine Verstappen being the kind of guy that, you know, completely, you know, lives in his simulator and completely gets, you know, the complete hang of how all these technical tricks are working. I'm calling them tricks now. They're more abilities than tricks, to be really honest. But I can see the younger generation being ahead of the, you know, Lewis Hamilton, Nico Hülkenberg, or Fernando Alonso. Not trying to in any way diminish the abilities of Fernando Alonso, don't get me wrong. But yeah, I do think that that is gonna play a little bit into, you know, I think over the years the simulator work has become more and more important, and yeah, I just think that someone like George Russell can really benefit from that. And other than that, I'd love to just, you know, sit back and watch and see what's going to happen, because I have no idea, you have no idea, nobody knows. And that's the excitement of F1, and especially, you know, if we get a, you know, big rule change, regulation change, and engine change, I think that's, you know, everything. If you take everything together, it's been a long, long time since we had such a innovative year, such a, you know, complete makeover of what we knew. So yeah, I'm just really, really, really looking forward to that. I hope racing is going to be, you know, it's going to be possible to follow cars. That's of course one of the questions that we're always talking about in the past 10-15 years, is that, you know, it's become more and more teams are better and better at creating dirty air behind the cars. So I hope, I really hope that that's going to be something that's going to be, I don't want to say resolved, but going to be improved. And if not, you know, we can always go and switch watching MotoGP, because I can tell you that the close racing there is honestly incredible to watch. So I urge everyone to, you know, make that call too, and watch and get your subscription for watching MotoGP, because it's incredible.
Yeah, I was going to say that one thing that I'll just point out that's interesting from both you and I when it comes to our initial picks is, we didn't choose at all McLaren, a McLaren driver, or McLaren in the constructors, and yet McLaren dominated last year. Obviously, the driver's champion being Lando Norris, the constructors being McLaren, and yet we didn't choose either of them. And that's interesting. I do think that, at least for me personally, my decision behind that is that I'm actually worried for them when it comes to these new rules and regulations and how it's going to translate with the car on the track. I, for some reason, feel like maybe they're going to struggle a bit, especially in the beginning, but they are a team that, even if they do, they seem to be pretty good at bouncing back. We saw that in 2025, I believe, when they were having a lot of issues in the first part of the season and were able to make some changes that altered that quite dramatically. But
24.
One thing that, or 24, what I would say is that if we're looking at the driver's lineup as well, last year we saw a slew of rookies starting out, and this year is different because we only have one rookie that is joining the grid. That's on Racing Bulls, and that's going to be Lindblad, and the rest are going to be, I mean, we could still kind of call them rookies because it's going to be their second year. Some of them have made some changes. We're looking at Isaac now, the second driver of Red Bull. Let me ask you this. How do you think Isaac is going to handle the pressure? Do we think that he has a bright future with Red Bull this season, or do we think that he may struggle as we've seen previously in the past? I mean, I will say this just quickly. I do think for him, he has, there's no denying the fact that he's going to have an uphill climb in Red Bull, just for the obvious reasons being the second driver. But to also get into that seat at a time where the car is going to be entirely different based on the modifications, I think that he is going to have an extra added challenge there. But what are your thoughts when it comes to that?
I actually see it as it might be the exact right timing to get into the Red Bull because, yeah, it's going to be new for him, but it was going to be new for him regardless of which point in time he enters that team. And for Verstappen, it's going to be new too now as well. It's just as new for Verstappen as it is for Hadjar. So I think that actually if you want to start... I would have loved actually for, but yeah, okay, that's a little bit too late now. I would have loved for Tsunoda to enter at Red Bull at this point of time. Because I really do think this is the right time to start at a team when your teammate, your closest opponent also is going to be, you know, we all know Verstappen is very talented, but he's going to be struggling to some degree with new things and probably he'll get the heck of it a little bit quicker than whichever teammate he has. But I do think that if you want to start at Red Bull, this is the right time, not in the middle of a season like Tsunoda last year. You know, after two races, Lawson was thrown out, Tsunoda got into that car, and you know, you're two races behind already on the new car, and the car wasn't that new. Verstappen been driving it for a couple of years, so yeah, I do think I'm very, you know, honestly, I'm so excited by Hadjar and you know how he's done last year. I think he performed incredibly well. I think we all feel that way. So I really hope he does succeed. I don't doubt that he will struggle to some extent here and there at the beginning of the season, but let's hope he gets a heck of it. But more curious even. I mean, by now we know what Hadjar's style is. I'm very curious to see Lindblad. I was personally not that impressed with him in F2. I know he's been a long time prodigy of Red Bull, and you know he's won several previous series in junior series, winter series, but yeah, in F2 I not just only his driving, also on the radio, I remember his Monaco race, and he, you know, the team was, you know, was making a strategy which he just couldn't. It took him a long time to get what they were doing. While it wasn't, it was quite blatantly obvious for any regular watcher of motorsport. So yeah, I don't know. I don't want to downplay his ability. I mean, he might perform really, really well. They do seem to have a lot of confidence in him. It's going to be interesting to see him perform against Lawson, who's, I don't know if Lawson's the nicest teammate to go up against, but that's going to be interesting. And the other thing that I still wanted to ask you, because I think that's something that everyone's going to love to track throughout the season. You know, we know that Cadillac's probably going to be struggling to some extent. I mean, they're not going to be one of the front runners, but I do want to hear from you, and I'm writing this one down too, Sam. Bottas or Perez, who's gonna win? And I want to hear both head to head on qualifying and on points scored during the race, if any. So you need to tell me qualifying, who's gonna win head to head, and who's gonna score more points during the season.
I think I'm just gonna go with Bottas overall. Both. And no, I'm saying for both. Yeah, I'm saying for both. I do love Perez, but I will say this, I'm really excited that both of them are back on the grid. I think that I agree with you. I don't think Cadillac, we're not having like high expectations. It's their first year, so there's that. I think that it's going to be quite interesting regardless to have two additional cars on the grid during a race. I'm really looking forward to that. But I think that Bottas is going to have the upper hand. He's been out for a little while, but I do believe that I just think he's going to have the upper hand. I mean, it's really hard. It's like apples and oranges here because they're both fantastic drivers. But I don't know. I think he responds very well. He's quite methodical to some degree, and I think that he's very clinical in some of the ways that he drives. And I think that responding to a car that is going to be new for him and for Perez, it's like you said. I mean, they're both starting out, like you had mentioned with Isaac and Max. I mean, both these drivers are starting out in a car that they have zero experience in, so it's a clean slate. But I think it's really going to come down to who's going to respond and react quicker. And I just feel like Bottas has the upper hand. What are your thoughts?
Well, I had originally written down Bottas for qualifying head-to-head and Perez for points, but because of your prediction, I'm going to go with Perez, just to see at the end of the season who's...
Of course.
Who's going to get this one? But I think that's going to be a very interesting pairing. I think everyone knows that they're both, they've been number two drivers in Mercedes and in Red Bull. So it's going to be very interesting to see how they perform. But I think overall, in all teams, it's going to be interesting to see performances. But rather than just speculate, I think during the first few episodes of forecast during this new season, we're going to talk a lot about it, and it's going to be interesting to follow, and it's going to be interesting to predict, I would say. So I don't know, Sam, if you have many more things to add for this current episode other than wishing everybody good luck. Was there anything that we have missed talking about that we should have talked about?
I mean, we've covered pretty much most of what we typically would cover. We've covered liveries, we've covered driver lineup. I mean, I think that at the end of the day, both of us are just really excited, as I'm sure everybody else is, to get the season started. We're starting in Australia, which leaves no stone unturned when it comes to chaos. So very much excited for that. I think that we are going to be in for probably a dramatic race, and I can't wait for it. But I think all in all, I'm just really looking forward to seeing racing yet again. Another year, a lot of unpredictability, and another season of Forecast One podcast. So lot of things to look forward to.
Yeah, that's a good way to end it. I think one other thing to still say is that for those who are interested in predicting MotoGP, that season starts a little bit earlier than the F1 does. So the first race in MotoGP is in Buriram in Thailand, and that's the last week. It's starting the last weekend of February. So that's the 27th is the Friday, then the 28th is the Saturday, which is going to be the deadline for predictions. But because it's in Asia, of course, it's going to be all a little bit earlier, depending on where you live. I mean, if you're listening in Asia, then that's not the case. But so get your predictions in, and the sprint is on that 28th of February, and the 1st of March is the first race. So we're starting with that before we do with the F1. But I think I'd like to welcome everybody back to predicting. Thanks for supporting and staying around. And well, if you've been staying around and listened to this episode up until this point, then we're very glad to have you as a podcast listener and also as a forecast player. And hopefully we can grow the community during this season. I'm very much looking forward to that part. Of course, you're going to see 22 more posts than you would usually do. Because, of course, we're going to be posting the results of MotoGP on Instagram as well. So that means, it's the same Instagram handle, same page. So just more scores. And, get friends and family to go and start predict, because it's a lot of fun. Even if you're a casual follower of either one of the sports, it's just fun to predict. And I would say also, if you're following MotoGP, just make F1 predictions and vice versa, because it's I don't know, I just, at this point, after doing this for a couple of years, I also just start to like the the filling out of a list, and to open the app and start to wonder about what I'm gonna do and play around with it, and it's I don't know, it's sometimes it's nerve-cracking, and sometimes it's a no-brainer, and sometimes I do it with my eyes closed, but it's just a lot of fun.
It is. It very much is. It doesn't matter. I would say that over the years, it always feels the same, right? Like to make the predictions, even when there was a handful of people to now, it's always exciting. It's always competitive, and it's always fun to talk about. And then for you and I to have our little battles, that'll never change.
I think it's going to be interesting actually to see, with the past year, we've seen that Kenya has basically taken over and ruled forecast in terms of numbers. It's going to be interesting to see now if, we see some changes there, because there might be some crossover. I do expect MotoGP bringing in a lot of Indonesian fans, because, MotoGP is just really, really big there. It's big in countries like Spain, Italy, Indonesia, Thailand. For example, we have very few Thai players of the Formula One forecast. So I'm very interested to see if we're going to get more in now, and if that, you know, if there's going to be a lot of crossover, and to see which countries are going to be predicting. And I will also be glad to hold more quizzes. You know, we're going to do the podcast episodes. I think it's fair to say we're going to stick with doing one podcast episode per Formula One race. But, you know, if in the meantime we've had MotoGP races, I think it'd be nice to also shortly just summarize who's been winning there and who's been scoring points, and, you know, just as a little bit of a subsection, slightly, maybe somewhere at the end. But it's going to be interesting, and it's going to be, you know, it's going to be nice also to see if you know, same people are doing well in one forecast league as in the other one. Yeah, lots of things to look forward to. But yeah, rather than keeping on repeating myself, I think again, thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting me and Sam and Forecast and everyone and the community. And let's just hope that the best predictor may win for this. Well, I think it's fair to say that always happens. You know, the best predictor will win the season. So that's exciting.
That's true. Maybe it's you or I. We'll see.
We'll see. We'll see.
I don't have high hopes, but that's fine. That's fine.
I guess it makes two of us.